Amen. Well, do you love Jesus more than you love yourself? Did you let your mouth speak before your brain was in gear? I said, do you love Jesus more than you love yourself? Think about what I've said. You know, we all love ourselves, don't we? I mean, we really do. But we've got to love Jesus, he said, more than we love ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. So if we love him, he said we'd do what? We'd obey him, keep his commandments. Don't mean the Ten Commandments. It means all the law of God. Moral law, domestic law, spiritual law, every commandment, every desire, the will of God, we'll keep it. We'll keep even in the spirit of the law. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Not only the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. We'll keep that if we love Jesus more than we love ourselves. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. I feel camp meeting spirit around here. I really do. I felt it when we came on these grounds tonight. And I'd like to say before we get into the Word of God that we certainly appreciate the invitation to come and minister to you and trust that somehow in some way we can be a blessing while we're here. We've learned to love and appreciate Brother Price and the men on the district board and the brethren, the ministers of this district that we have had an opportunity to fellowship with and be acquainted with. And I'll say that I've been in the district several times, preaching on various occasions, and I've always been treated royally. And we appreciate the great fellowship of the California district. We bring you greetings from the state of Texas, Brother Holly, our district superintendent, Brother Davison, secretary, and all the district board members. And we appreciate the blessings of God that has been accomplished in our great state. And it's just as hot as in Texas as it was in Fresno when I left there today. Amen. But we're thankful for the cool spell up here. Amen. Nice and cool when I walked out of the room tonight to come to service. And I said, my, there must be a norther on. Amen. Amen. So it's real nice and cool up here, and we ought to have a great camp. We're looking forward to hearing Brother Pugh in the morning. Brother Pugh's a great man of God, great preacher. And you're going to miss something if you miss his Bible study. I'll tell you that before you ever get started. You don't want to miss Brother Pugh. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you what. If you'll stand just a moment to relax your legs, and as we read the Word of God, we'll get right into the Word of God. And we won't be saying too much after tonight. But we do appreciate all of the blessings of God and for the great fellowship and the kindness of the California District in inviting us to come to preach to you in the night services of this great camp. We're going to read from the 19th chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to start reading verse 11 and we'll read down through verse 16. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease had departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. I want to use tonight for our subject, Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. I ask you to pray with me right now and ask God to bless the Word of God. Would you do it? Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus tonight, we ask you to bless the Word of God, use it for your glory. Let the Holy Ghost talk to us. Speak the Word of God. Let the Lord talk to us tonight. Stir our hearts and our minds. Give us an insight. Let us to feel your presence. Oh Lord, we're your church. We're your body. We ask you to manifest yourself through your body tonight. Let the Word find its place in our hearts. Stir us up. Use us for your glory. We're going to ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. The word imitation means to mimic, to act out the part of, to copy after, to try to resemble, or to fake it out, or to pretend. That's what the word imitation means. But the word duplication means this, the equivalent to the original. Huh, I like the difference, don't you? Hallelujah. The equivalent to the original, equal to perfect likeness, the same identical thing, reproduction of the original, identical to the original. Amen. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. I heard one of the brethren say a few minutes ago up here that if you was identifying the people that were gathered here tonight with just the normal common pronouncement of Pentecost, then you are misinformed. This is a different Pentecostal group here in this building tonight than just throwing everybody together and say we're Pentecostal. There's a difference, and I want to try to show you the difference tonight. So I want to talk about Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. Praise God. In the setting of this lesson here in the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul had been doing mighty things in Ephesus. You'll read the preceding verses, you'll see that he did great miracles and God used him, and by his hands, the Bible said by his hands and through his hands, God worked miracles through the Apostle Paul. And he worked miracles and great healings and casting out evil spirits, and great revival came to that city, and Paul was able to establish a church there. But the background of Ephesus concerning Pentecostal imitation, Ephesus was the chief seat of that day of the black arts. That means the indulgence into the demonical powers of supernatural manifestations. Ephesus was the headquarters of it. And if you'll notice that the known world was familiar with the pretension to supernatural gifts and endowments. Now you notice they were not familiar with the genuine apostolic gifts and endowments, but they were familiar with the pretensions to supernatural gifts and endowments. There is a difference between the pretension of supernatural gifts and endowments than the real genuine thing. Amen. The magicians and astrologers, they swarmed in the streets of Ephesus. And there was a mighty trade going on in the charms,
in the incantations and in the books of divination and the rules for interpreting dreams. And this is recorded in verse 19, where to the great revival came by the Apostle Paul, that these magicians and astrologers and those that practiced the black arts and the occults of that time, they brought their books, and by the thousands of dollars worth, they piled them up and burned them. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. When they had a real introduction to the genuine Pentecostal spirits of God. Hallelujah. They brought all of their imitations down there. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a difference between imitation and duplication, and I want you to get the difference tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel it coming on already. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, in the days of the Apostle Paul, there was imitators just like they're imitators today. Amen. We've got them that practice the black arts. I had a girl come into my church not too long ago. She drove up on the outside, some of the ladies, just at the time we dismissing service. And she come squealing in there, and some of the children was on the outside. And she just come slamming her brakes and turned sideways in there and come just a barreling in our parking lot. And somebody went out there to talk to her, and of course she wouldn't roll the window down. She sat there and kind of scooted down in the seat of her car and wouldn't say nothing. So somebody come in and got me when service over and said, there's somebody out here. He talked to this woman, said she's slid in here and on the wheels and turned around sideways and just cut her engine off, just sitting there. We tried to talk to her, all the doors are locked. And she won't talk to anybody. So I went out there and I pecked on the window and she wouldn't look. She just sitting there with her head kind of down. I pecked on the window and I said, I'm the pastor of the church. I'd like to speak with you a moment. She cracked the window just about that much. And when she looked around at me, she looked and she had them devil eyes. I'm telling you, she looked like a witch. That's the truth. I've never seen a witch, but she looked like what I think a witch looked like. Amen. And so I began to talk to her through that little crack in the window, and I said, where you come from? She said, I just come from worshiping in the Satan's church. I said, you did? She said, yeah. I said, what did you do over there? She said, well, we went through our rituals. I said, how long have you been a member of that church? She said, for 2 years. And she said, tonight, she said, I was supposed to sold my soul to Satan for eternity. And she said, I was sitting there, and just before the ritual came up for me to completely give over my soul to him, said something came over me and I just got up and I ran out. And she said, I got in my car and I've been driving all over Dallas. And she said, I just got lost and come down this street, and said, when I got to this church, she said, I just felt something drawing me this away. And she said, I went on down a little further and turned my car around and said, I come back in here and I just felt something drawing me. And she said, I pulled in here and that's what I'm doing here. I said, I tell you what, you come to the right place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. We got that girl out of there and cast the devil out of her. Made it through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's power in the original duplication of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The devil is no match for the genuine, true apostolic message. You hear me tonight? I said he's no match for the power of the Holy Ghost. And Paul, through the hands of Paul, God said that he cast out devils. Hallelujah. And he healed the sick and performed miracles and delivered those with unclean spirits. And they brought all of their books of the black arts and the practicing of the occults, demonology and demonical powers that possessed those people. They burned those books and got the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that there's power in the duplication of Pentecost. Hallelujah. But there is no power in imitation. There's no power in imitation. I'll get down to the sons of Stephen in just a second, but the devil uses imitations to deceive the minds of men. That's right. I said he uses imitations to deceive the minds of men. Why? Diverting them away from the real truth, thereby damning their souls in a lake of fire. Now, I don't know what you think about it, but this national charismatic group don't have me fool one iota. That's right. They don't have me fool. Now, I know good and well that I'm not naive enough to think that there is not some of those, perhaps, honest-hearted, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about the national charismatic movement. It's nothing but an imitation to deceive the minds of the people away from the real, genuine truth of the Holy Ghost baptism. Nothing but an imitation. That's all in the world it is. I had a couple come from the Catholic Church, St. Pius, just about a half a mile from my house. And they came and walked into our church, sat on our pew and heard a gospel sermon. After the service was over, came down, introduced myself to them, talked to them a little bit, said, "Where you come from?" "We belong to the Catholic Charismatic." "Is that right?" "Yes, sir." "Wanted me to come over and to their prayer meeting." And so I said, "Sit down and let me talk with you a few minutes about it. When is your prayer meeting?" "On Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock. "Well, I can't come. We have church on Sunday night." "Tell me a little bit about it. What do you do?" They said, "Well, we have prayer meetings. We all get us the chairs, and we all sit down facing one another." And said, "One that those that want the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit," they said, "one that has the Holy Spirit sits down in this chair. One that does not have the Holy Spirit, they sit down in this chair." And then they testify, though they give their witnesses and so forth and so on. And then the one that wants the Holy Spirit, the one that's sitting in front of them, they pray. Lay their hands on them, and they pray for them. And then they get them to worship God, lift their hands. And then they said, how do they receive the Holy Ghost? Said, "Oh, we teach them how to speak in tongues." I said, "You do?" Said, "Yeah." And so I said, "Well, what do you say?" And so they got up there, and they was going to demonstrate to me how that they taught this person how to speak in tongues. Now, you don't tell me that that's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you go down there and sit down with somebody and try to teach them how to speak in tongues, my Bible tells me in Acts 4 and 1 and Acts 2, 1 and 4 and Acts 9, 8 and Acts 10, Acts 12, Acts 18, Acts 19, that they spoke in tongues and the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. It's got to be a production of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. They didn't get the Holy Ghost. They are imitators. That's what they are. If there's any charismatics here tonight, bear with us. I'm going to tell you what you got. Friend of mine, you and a bunch of people tonight that believes in getting the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. All right, now let's go a little further. Let's get down. Let's get down to the seven sons of Sceva. They wanted imitation Pentecost. They did not want Pentecost. They didn't ask for the Holy Ghost. They didn't ask for the baptism in Jesus' name. They wanted the power. They wanted the imitation, but they did not want to duplicate. They didn't want Pentecost. They just wanted to imitate Pentecost. That's right. They wanted to use the power of Pentecost for personal gain. That's why they come there and that old Simon Sorcerer, you know, he wanted to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't want the Holy Ghost. Wanted the power so he could imitate the Holy Ghost. Imitate the apostles' power. That whoever he laid his hands on, that they would speak in tongues and that they would be healed and the mighty miracles would break out. That's what he wanted. He did not want Pentecost. No, sir. That bunch does not want Pentecost. They want to speak in tongues and that's all that they want. They do not want the real, genuine, apostolic power of God in their heart to live for God. No, they don't. No, they don't. We have a lot of personality paraders today, but not many real Pentecostals. Amen? Many of your great groups today, they want the tongues. miracles, but they do not want the Holy Ghost, they do not want holiness, and they do not want the name of Jesus. Now let me get down in the body of what I want to really talk about tonight. One can have tongues because tongues can be imitated. All right, I'm going to back up here. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Now, Brother Pugh's supposed to give the Bible study, but I'm going to give one tonight. And we'll have one tonight and one in the morning too. See, amen? All right, now, many people want the tongues, but they don't want the Holy Ghost because of difference. There's a difference. The tongues can be imitated, but the Holy Ghost cannot be imitated. I said, they want the tongues because tongues can be imitated. But they don't want the Holy Ghost because you cannot imitate the Holy Ghost. All right, listen to me carefully. Now, you can have tongues without having the Holy Ghost, but you can't have the Holy Ghost without having tongues. Oh, that sounds strange, doesn't it? That's right, though. I said you can have tongues because tongues can be imitated without having the Holy Ghost. But you can't have the Holy Ghost without having tongues because the Holy Ghost, it speaks out inside of you and will speak of the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Glory! Thank God for the real, genuine, apostolic power of the Holy Ghost. You cannot imitate the Holy Ghost. But you can gather and be dying, go all day long and not change your life one iota. You have no more got the Holy Ghost than I'm a monkey in Africa. If your life was not changed, praise God, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have it. No, sir. Hallelujah. Because my Bible tells me that the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ inside of you. Just because you speak in tongues does not mean that Jesus Christ dwells in there. Because tongues can be imitated, but you cannot imitate the life of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus Christ, if He dwells in there, He's going to manifest Himself through your life. You speak in tongues for 48 hours and never have a change in heart, change in life. Hallelujah. This generation seeks after tongues. They do not seek after the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that the Holy Ghost was Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Holy Ghost is holiness. Everybody say holiness. I can take Romans 12, 1 and 2 and prove you that holy living is a product of the Word of God. It's a product of the Holy Ghost. I told some of them the other day when I was preaching, I said, if holiness is not a prerequisite to salvation and being saved, I am the biggest fool from Texas you ever looked at. Because there have been more people left my church because I preached against television. And because I preach against wigs. And because I preach against jewelry. And because I preach against going to a picture show. And because I preach against going to a ball game. And because I preach against the domino halls and the pool tables. Yes, sir! Praise God! But I believe that the Bible said in the book of Hebrews, except you follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. You cannot see God in peace without the holiness, a life according to the Word of God. Glory! Pentecost is not imitation. It's duplication. Hallelujah. 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 All right. Holy Ghost is separation from the world. Speaking in tongues is not separation from the world, but the Holy Ghost is. Receiving the Holy Ghost is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You'll see what I'm talking about when you get the Holy Ghost. It's fruit bearing. Holy Ghost is obedience to God's Word. The Holy Ghost is giving up worldliness. and living godly. I said, that's what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost, Paul said, is sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? Purity. Holiness. Set apart. Redeemed. And being righteous. Now, what does being righteous mean? It means being right with God. How can I be right with God and have sin in my life? If I claim to have the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues, then I must be righteous. That's right. I've got to be righteous. What is righteousness? Righteousness is me being right with God. How can I be right with God? To line up my life in harmony with the teaching of the Word of God makes me right with God. Having my life in harmony and fellowship with my brethren and being free from the transgression of the law of God makes me righteous. And I cannot be righteous and be contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. If my living and my life and my conduct and my behavior and my character and my attitude and my spirit is not in harmony with the Word of God, then I'm not in harmony with God. Therefore, I'm not right with God. And if I'm not right with God, I'm not righteous in my heart. I'm a sinner, that's what I am. Hallelujah to God. Oh, let's lift our hand and thank the Lord for the real, genuine Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm just about to shout right now. And I might do it here in a minute when I get through with this scripture over here. Let's turn to Ephesians. You got your Bible, chapter 4. Verse 22 through 24, and I want you to hear what the Word of God said. He said, Paul teaching to a church here, people that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now we're going to talk about imitation Pentecost and duplication Pentecost here in these verses. Now he said, ye... people that speak in tongues receive the Holy Ghost. He said, now, you said you had it. He said, then you put off. Like I took my coat off a while ago. Don't keep on wearing it, but put it off. You can't keep nothing on and put it off at the same time. You can't keep on the old man and put on the new. That's right. You hear me? You can't keep the old man off and put the old man on at the same time. And so Paul said that you put off the old man concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, hallelujah! And this word translated, turned around, paraphrased, says, holiness of truth. Glory to God, glory to God, glory. Holiness of truth, holiness of truth, holiness of truth, according to the Word of God. And that's what they asked Jesus. They said, what is truth? He said, I am the truth. So when you get Jesus Christ in you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got truth in you. Now when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you got truth in you, you got to put off the old man and live according to the truth that abides inside of your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me explain that verse a little bit. Go back up there to verse 22 where it said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now, this word conversation does not mean the way that you talk, but the word translates means manner of life or the way that you've been living. So, here's what he's saying. That you put off concerning the former manner of life that you have been living. The old man. Now, what does the old man mean? The expression the old man refers to the unsaved person dominated by the totally depraved nature of sin. The act of putting off this old man had to do with the former manner of life and the way that they lived. You say you're preaching something to us you didn't preach in your own church. No, sir, I'm just coming back preaching the same thing I preached in my church.
That's right.
Amen. Brother Martin preached to me. He knows what I preach. All right, now look carefully. Now, he comes down to verse 23 and he said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, notice the word 23, the word renewed means to be renovated by inward reformation. Oh, glory to God. Don't you love the Word? I love the Word of God. Amen. All right, so what it means, renewed, it means renovation inwardly and being reformed or regenerated. All right, notice now that Paul did not say renewed in your mind. He said be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's a difference there. There's a difference there. Because the renewal is not in the mind psychologically or just a change of opinion on points of doctrine or practice. But notice, it is a change in the spirit of the mind. That is that part of man wherein contains the power to alter the entire inner man himself. Hallelujah to God. That's why you got to be changed. It's inside of your heart. Hallelujah. And God comes down through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By the baptism of God. Hallelujah. Which is the birth of the water and the Spirit. And you will bear the fruit of the Spirit because you have Christ, which is truth, inside of you. And your heart is transformed and your own life of sin that was controlled by the desires of your depraved nature, it's put off. And that's why Paul said that I'm crucified with the Lord. That old flesh got to die. Ha. Hallelujah. It's got to die. All right, so it's not just a change of opinion he's talking about here, but it's something that will change your entire thought pattern, to change your entire behavior. It will change your entire life. It will change your manner of living and your walk with God. It'll change it, my friend. Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. Everybody say it. Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. Imitation is faking it out. Imitation is acting out the part that you got the Holy Ghost. But duplication is receiving and possessing the same identical thing that they received on the day of Pentecost. Woo, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that God removed the veil from my eyes and let me see that there was a difference between duplication and imitation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. All right, now then, let's come on down a little further in verse 24. And he said, and that ye put on the new man. Now, the old man refers to the unsaved person dominated by the totally depraved nature, and the new man refers to the saved person dominated by the divine nature on the inside of him that's put there by the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So you put off your sin and you put on righteousness and godliness and holiness. All right, this is what Paul had referred to when he said in Corinthians, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everybody say new creature. All right. Now then, the word new creature here means, in translation, a new creation. Now he said, after God. After God. Which means according to what God is in himself. Let me back up, so I want you to get this, because when I make the conclusion of this point that I'm fixing to make, I want you to understand what I'm talking about. Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature after God. The word creature, new creature, means new creation. And after God means according to what God is in himself. So now here's what Paul has said. It's going to happen to those, not them that speak in tongues, but those that receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you cannot imitate the Holy Ghost, but you can imitate speaking in tongues. Now here's what he said. So becoming a new creation means created after the pattern of what God is. Oh, do you hear me, preacher friend of mine? Do you hear me, saint of God? Now here's what happened to you when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. Not if somebody told you how to jabber it or somebody told you how to get it. I don't believe that in a 10,000 years. I believe that when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your mouth will flop open and the change that's in your heart and the reformation that's in your soul. Praise God, in the duplication that Christ Jesus is in you, the hope of glory, which divides as consecration and holiness and separation from the world. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus, Paul said. And so he said, after God, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, after God. And that means, simply means this. So becoming a new creature means created after the pattern of what God is. So the Holy Ghost creates in us what God is in Himself. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So the Holy Ghost creates in us what God is in Himself. That's the work of the transformation of being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And my friend, if you haven't had that transformation and that creation and that regeneration in your heart, you did not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're just trying to imitate it. Oh, hallelujah. All right, now let's slow down and back up. The Holy Ghost creates in us because Paul said that the Holy Ghost was Christ in us. So Christ in us is God. We believe that. And God, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, is God in us. So the Holy Ghost creates in us what God is in Himself. Then this creation is what God is manifest through our manner of life, Paul said. Not the old man, but the new man. We got a different manifestation now, a different walk. There's a different man of talking in here. There's a different man operating in here now. No, it's not the old man, because we put him off. That old cussing and lying and cheating and going to sinful places of the world, the sporting houses, the domino halls, the pool tables, praise God, or whatever you want to call it, wherever it is, praise God, I want you to know that you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you don't, he said, put off now the old manner of the way that you've been living. Before you claimed to got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now you're putting on a new man. And that new man is after God, or it's Christ Jesus in you. Praise God. And it's God through the Holy Ghost working in you what the character and the nature and the attitude and the Spirit of God is Himself. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what God is God holy? Come on, respond to me a little bit. We're in town meeting here. I said, is God holy? All right, then the Holy Ghost creates holiness in you. I said, is God separated from the world? All right, then God separates you from the world because God works in you through the Holy Ghost what He is Himself. The Holy Ghost recreates in you what God is Himself and manifests through you what God is Himself through the manifestation of the Holy Ghost that works inside of you. Hallelujah. So now you understand why I say that Pentecost is not imitation, it's duplication. Now that old fisherman was changed, Peter was. That old Paul was changed, He didn't get up from that road and walk off there cussing and a lying and a cheating and a going to ball games and a running around with women. He walked away from that blind. He walked away from that with Jesus in his heart. He walked away from there with a transformed. He didn't go back to where he come from. He went on a straight way where he was already headed. He didn't go back to Jerusalem. He tore that old tree up. Praise God. And that's what he's trying to tell the church over there at Ephesus. He's trying to tell them that when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't turn around and leave the church and go back out there in sin. But you are a new creature in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. To walk in newness of life. All right, now then, let's bring it on down. This new creation is produced by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost creates in us what God is in Himself. Then this creation, that is, what God is manifest through our manner of life. And men read our manner of life and determine whether or not we really have the Holy Ghost or not. Now, how did Jesus say you'd know Him? Because they spoke in tongues. Tongues can be imitated, but fruit can't. I can tell an old imitation apple as far as I can see it for a mile. And I'll tell you something else I can tell. I can tell an imitated Pentecostal too. Hallelujah. I can tell one that's got the real genuine thing and one that's just a make-out. I went over there looking at a trailer not too long ago. I say too long ago. It must have been 2 or 3 years ago. We thought about we might buy us a little travel trailer, wife and I. And so we went over here to this place where they sell them, and here come a little old woman strutting out there in her pantsuit. I'll tell you one thing. This is the pantsuitest, wearing this bunch of women generation I ever seen in my life. They don't know what a dress is. That's the truth. There ain't no telling what all we like to preach on before this thing's over. I've about covered most of it tonight. Amen. Amen. All right. And so here she comes strutting out there with a low-neck dress on with no sleeves in it and pant things here on. And she comes strutting out there going, you know, I introduced myself to her. I said, I'm Reverend McNeely. This is my wife, Mrs. McNeely. I said, we just thinking about maybe being interested in a little travel trailer. We'll see what you got. So she said, you're a preacher? I said, yeah. She said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, I'm a United Pentecostal preacher. She said, well, come in my office. I said, I want to talk to you. She said, I'm Pentecostal too. I kind of looked around at my wife and she looked at me, and when she turned around and walked off, I said, she said, she's Pentecostal. And so she got in there in the little office, you know, and she was going to go through some of the prices with us, you know. And I said, you say you Pentecostal? She said, oh, yeah. I said, you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Oh, yeah. I said, you speak in tongues when you receive it? Oh, yeah. She just started rattling off, you know. Yeah, she did. I thought for a minute I was backslid, because I didn't feel a thing. She just pissed around in there with her pantsuit on, just talking in tongues. No, she wasn't a talking in tongues. She was imitating tongues. That's all she's a doing. I want to lay my hands on her so bad I didn't know what to do. Rebuke that lying devil out of her. Saying she had the Holy Ghost and she didn't. I knew good and well she didn't. And all that jabber she's a doing didn't amount to hill of beans. So after a while, I listened to all that malarkey that I got. Want to do, and so I just opened up to her. I said, you've been doing a lot of talking and a lot of jabbering, talking in tongues, supposed to be. And I said, now let me tell you something. Well, I said, I'll come back later to talk about the trailer. I won't talk to you about the Holy Ghost. I said, you got a Bible in here? She said, yeah, I got a Bible. She thought I was going to join up with her, you know. And really brag on her because she had the Holy Ghost. And I read that Bible, and I told her what the book of Acts said, how the people's hearts were changed. Got over there, and it wasn't long. She said, well, listen, let me tell you something. She said, I don't believe that. I don't believe what you fellas preach. I don't believe that at all. And she'd jabber something in tongues every now and then or try to. And she wouldn't listen. She said, I'll tell you what. If you're not interested in a trailer today, she said, I'll have to ask you to leave and come back at a later time when you are interested in a trailer. Oh, yeah. They're not interested in hearing what the Bible said or what the Holy Ghost is. Now, if I'd have jabbered something back to her, she'd have joined up and we'd have been in the same pot. Listen, I'm not in the same pot with that charismatic bunch. You hear me? I've run them things to my church by the dozens. I can't ever get them out of their britches. I can't ever get the glory off of them. I can't ever get them to do right. I haven't got one yet. Not one have I got. And we prayed them through are supposed to have by the dozens. In case you didn't know. That's the truth. I know some of them get the Holy Ghost. I believe that. But I'll tell you what will happen to them that do really get the Holy Ghost. They're either going to come out and line up with the true children of God, or they won't keep the Holy Ghost. They'll be deceived in the power of the doctrine. God will send them a strong delusion, and they'll believe a lie, and they'll be damned, and their soul will go to hell lost without God.
Now, they'll do one of the two, because my Bible tells me that God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost for one reason, and that reason is to lead you into all truth. And if you don't follow the truth that the Holy Ghost reveals, what do you think the Holy Ghost is? The Holy Ghost is God's revelation concerning the redemptive plan of man. It's revelation. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It reveals into you what God is in Himself. It opens your understanding. It removes the blindness from your eyes. It lets you to see that what kind of a life that you're supposed to be living according to the will of God if you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And so let me show you something here. That Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said he was a praying for them and he was holding on to God for them until Christ be formed in you. Then he went on to say, I am crucified with Christ. Now what does this mean? This speaks of a part completed action, or rather as a past completed action, having present finished result. Listen to me now. I am crucified with Christ. Speaking of a past completed action, having present finished result. What Paul is saying is that his encounter with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus has resulted in the life that he is now living and they are beholding. He is saying you are not looking at the same Paul that you saw in Jerusalem when he left there with that decree. That old pharisaical Saul that left Jerusalem. That old sinful Saul that left Jerusalem. That old backbiting, God-hating, saint-killing, persecuting Saul that left Jerusalem. You're not looking. That old Saul is crucified. And the Holy Ghost in me, I have put off that Saul. And my name has been changed to Paul. Hallelujah to God. And God is working in me through the Holy Ghost. Of what the attributes and the character and the characteristics of God is Himself. And now then I know who Jesus is. And now I've crucified the old man of flesh. I no longer walk in the Phariseeism. I no longer am bound to the powers of sin and the bondage of the slavery of the powers of my depraved nature. But I have been regenerated and the life of love and character and prayer and consecration and holiness and power. And with God, you're seeing the life of a transformed heart that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What am I doing tonight? Am I preaching or not? You preachers, stay with me because I'm going to get on us here in a minute. Because I still want to talk some more about that Pentecost and not imitation. It's duplication. But I want to show you saints, as well as ministers, what he's talking about here. And any sinners that's out there that the devil has deceived, make you think because you spoke in tongues, you received the Holy Ghost. And your life hadn't been changed. Now, if your life has been changed and you're cleaned up from your sin and you're obeying the will of God and the Word of God and walking in all the light that you have, God will see to it that your path will cross somebody that's got a fuller revelation to lead you into all truth. You think Philip just wandered off out there and said, I'll just wander off from this revival down here and just go off? No, sir. Philip didn't even know the eunuch was coming up the road. And the eunuch didn't know Philip was 1,000 miles away. But an honest heart that's a seeking after truth, that don't want to imitate nothing, but you want the real, genuine thing, God will send a somebody to your house. He'll send a saint over there. He'll send a preacher to your town. He'll let you get in contact with somebody. Your path is going to cross to somebody, sinner. If you're here tonight, that's what we're doing here. Our path has crossed your path, and it's because of the providence of God, and God leads you here to baptize you with the true, genuine power of the Holy Ghost. That's what you wandered in here for. You just didn't accidentally because you didn't have nothing else to do. God moved on you through the Spirit to come in here. Amen. To show you the difference between imitation Pentecost and duplicated Pentecost. Hallelujah. So Paul said, I'm crucified. All right. Now, being crucified with Christ meant death Hallelujah. And now then, the life that Paul lives, he lives, he said, because it's Christ that lives in me. So what Paul is saying is, he's saying the life in me now is not that old self-righteous Pharisee Saul, but that life that's living in me now is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that life, that means that manner of behavior, my conduct, my actions, my deeds, my habits, my works, my fruits, is Christ living in my life. And He is living out His conduct and His holiness and His righteousness through me. So the outward manifestation that you now see in me is really the Lord Jesus Christ revealing Himself through me. Hallelujah. Oh, that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's nothing more than Jesus Christ in you working out of what God is Himself and manifesting that which has been produced by the Holy Ghost to the world. And that's why Paul said, you are my epistles, known and read of all men, Brother Christ. Now, what is an epistle? Epistle is really interpreted as a message. Now then, the transformation, Paul is telling the church there, the transformation and the change of your manner of life and conduct and behavior and the way that you've been living, when you change that, he said, actually, that change, that regeneration, that production, that duplication of Christ being formed in you through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then Christ in you that's been formed will reproduce inside of you what God is in His character, in His righteousness, in His holiness, in His attitude, in everything that He has. And He will manifest that life Himself through you, and the people will see it, and they will get the message that you have really of a surety been baptized for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah! So epistle is a message to a lost and dying world that you have been changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. What message did I get out of that little old prissified woman coming out there with hat, no clothes on, trying to talk in tongues? I got a message. She was from the devil. But now if I'd have walked up there and I'd have seen her hair done up like she ought to had it done up, I'd have seen her with some clothes to hide her nakedness, I'd have seen a dress on her to cover her knees, and I'd have seen jewelry off of her hands and her ears, and I'd have seen makeup off of her lips, and then she'd have told me she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'd have said, okay, what I'm looking at shows me and proves to me that you are a product of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because that transformed life is a message to me. And so that's why Paul said, go out into your streets. Go back to your homes. That's why he said to them sinner women, don't go back with having knockdowns and drags out and a fussing and a fuming and going through the way that you used to. You leave this church and you go back. And your manner of conversation, and He will observe your behavior. He will observe the transformation of your heart. And you don't have to say a word. But that transformation that He sees in your life will be a message to Him that you have really of a surety been baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, how about it, men that work on jobs? Do you always mouth about the Holy Ghost and then live something contrary to what you're mouthing about that you got? It does your life bear up to what you claim that you have? Are you just an imitator? Do you just come to church and make out like you got the Holy Ghost and you're just acting out of part and you get up there and shout and talk in tongues and give out the interpretation, but you live like the devil and go to the ball games and watch the picture shows and have television in your house and do ever touch your hair and wear your face suits and go to the ball games and love the world? Oh God, there's a difference between Pentecostal imitation and Pentecostal duplication. My God, I'm about worn out. If there ever was a day, saint of God and preacher friend, friend of mine, that we need a genuine duplication of the Holy Ghost power of Pentecost that's in this last generation. Because we've got more imitation Pentecost in this world that will divert the minds of the people of this generation away from the real, genuine truth of God than we've ever had in any generation since the Pentecost.
And I'm going to tell you, every one of us, something, and I believe it just as strong as I believe that I'm an Irishman with a little French and Indian mixed in me. I believe that we're going to have the apostolic power and duplication of the Spirit in this last generation, in operation in a greater measure than we've got it now, if we ever going to do anything with this lost world. Can I sit down and preach to you a little while? I preach just a good sitting down. I can't stand it up. Let me rest a little bit. You talk about, people always talk about end time revival. Now, I don't want you to leave here and say that Brother McNeely don't believe in end time revival. I believe in end time revival when the end time gets here. You're not in the end time. You might be the end of your time, but you're not in the end time. The revival is not going to come in the apostolic church age. And you hear me when I said, and I take the Bible and back it up. Now, you're going to have revival, but you're not going to have end time revival. You're not going to have any more revival in 1977 than they had in 1900. And they had revival in 1900. You can have revival now, but you're not going to have end time revival in the sense that what some people is trying to make us believe, that we're going to have end time revival. But don't you say that Brother McNeely does not believe in end time revival. I believe in end time revival according to the Scripture. Not according to somebody's mouth. And I take the Scripture and show you when the end time revival is coming. And it's not coming in this age. It's coming in the tribulation period and in the millennium when the two prophets come down here. And brother, the prophets are going to bring a revival. And the 144,000 evangelists that God lights their soul of fire with demonic power, one then with the spiritual power of God that will take control of the demonic powers of this world and the reign of Antichrist. The Bible says that the glory of the Lord, according to the prophets that I tell, will fill the earth. They don't even know you exist in this town, let alone you haven't even filled this little town. How much is it? 30,000 population? They don't even know you're having a town meeting out here. End time revival. That's a joke. I'm not belittling it. I'm just telling that people don't know the Scripture. We're going to have end time revival. But you got 1,007 years, according to the Bible, before the end time, after the rapture of the church, if you believe that the rapture is going to take place prior to the tribulation period. So we're not in the end time even at the rapture of the church. You still got another 1,007 years on this earth. And even the times of the Gentiles had even been fulfilled at the rapture of the church. They got 7 more years of the Gentile time before the after the rapture of the church. And that's when you're going to have your revival, my friend. And all that bunch that you've seen come up in the book of Revelation from every kindred, every tongue, every people, every race, that's not the church. That's the revival, saints, that's coming out of the tribulation. That's going to be a result of the entire revival. Now that puts your thinking cap on, didn't it? You ain't never heard no kind of preaching like that, have you? Oh, that's just opposite what Brother Martin's been preaching. No, it ain't. I'm just kidding, Brother Martin. I was talking to a guy on Evangelism Commission, National Evangelism Commission, not too long ago. And of course, I wouldn't preach this everywhere, just about everywhere I go. But I was talking to him about it, and I said, now I want to show you what you guys are doing for us. And we stayed up the way. In fact, we seen the sun come up the next morning. And I had to leave out that next morning. And he wouldn't let me go to bed. Because he thought I was crazy, and I guess I was. He said, I said, now you said y'all got us on a revival kick. I said, we've had revival. And we might not have been having it like we ought to have it, but we've had revival. And so you come up with Evangelism Commission, you started out with a big theme from the national headquarters that said revival.
Everybody got on revival kick and everybody put out center up, put out billboards and put out everything all kind of revival. Everybody hooked it up revival. And then we didn't have revival. And so they started changing next year and they said revival now. And so they changed all the little church and said revival now. And so everybody got on revival now, revival now, revival now, revival now. Everybody for 1 year, everybody, revival now, revival now. And we didn't have revival now. And so they changed it the next year and said revival till it comes. Revival till it comes. Revival till it comes. Revival till it comes. And it never has come and we never had revival. And so they're going to have to get off of that kick. And so they said revival of his name. Revival of his name. And we haven't had a revival of his name. And so what they're going to come up with at this conference, I don't know. But they're going to have to come up with something. That's what they're coming up with. That's right. That's right. But now let me show you what's happened. I'm a 100 miles, Brother Price, from where I'm supposed to be according to this message over here that I've been supposed to be preaching. And I may not be able to even speak tomorrow night if I don't hurry up and quit. Y'all be tired of me first night. But here's what's happened. I know what I'm talking about because I have talked to young preachers and I've seen them, pastors, that has actually given their churches up, because you can build a saint up for about a year. You can pump them and you can get them going and you can build them up to a certain spiritual plateau of expecting to take their town and to run 10,000 Sunday school and have to move out of that church and go to the Coliseum because so many people is going to come in and you're going to take the whole city and the whole world is going to have revival. It's end time revival. It's end time revival. And here it is. We haven't even saved 0.1% of America, let alone 99.9% of the population of the world. And there's more babies born in one split day than we saved all year long as everything we can do. And we're talking about having end time revival. You're going to have end time revival, my friend, or any kind of revival. If you're going to have it, you're going to have it just like they had it in the early church by the hands of the Apostle Paul. God worked miracles through him. And everywhere he went, he turned the city upside down. Praise God. Not with imitation. Not with bumping your jaws. Not with just a slogan. Not with billboards. Not with radio. Not with television. But by the power of the Holy Ghost that works signs and wonders and miracles in your soul. Oh God, it's a burning inside of me like a raging fire. If we could have a real duplication tonight in this service of the apostolic power that Paul worked in Ephesus, you wouldn't need a television. It would be known from one end of this city to the other before daylight in the morning, and you couldn't beat them away from them doors of trying to get in here to get healed, to see the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you like it is. You may not want to believe it. You might want to keep on faking it out and acting the part of being a Pentecostal and of being an apostolic preacher. But my friend, oh God, I feel so inadequate. I feel so far away from God when I read scriptures like I've read here tonight. Oh, I feel my hunger. I feel my need. I feel a cry in my soul. I need to get closer to the cross of Calvary. Oh God, it's the truth. If I ever told it. Now then, I gotta close this message. But I want Pentecostal duplication, not imitation. God, if Paul's bunch could have had 15,000 people and preachers walk into a city like we walk into a national convention for 5 nights and 5 days, what do you think would happen to that city through the operation and manifestation of the real apostolic power? And my heart bleeds for that power. Now let me say this. Some folks think, and don't misinterpret, you see, I ain't got time to go in detail to explain my heart. That's why a lot of preachers are understood because their mind is going about 10,000 miles an hour, and it's outrunning what they can say from their mouth, and they can't get back to explain. And they make a statement, and then they pick it up and say, he don't believe in end time revival. I believe in anything. I believe we can have anything that they had on the day of Pentecost. And any time since that, that's recorded in the Word of God according to the promise of His will. But He didn't say. He said He is visiting the Gentiles not to fulfill an end time revival, but to take people out of the Gentiles as a people for His name. Now the end time revival is going to come with a prophet that's going to bring judgment on nations. That's why Paul had revival. Now let me show you something. We talk about apostles and they argue on the floor, apostles and prophets and this thing, something else, and I believe in apostles and prophets. And the Bible teaches that they ought to be in the church. Whether they're in there or not, they ought to be there. But you let apostle come along, Brother Price, and I'll follow him. But I'm sorry to tell you, I haven't seen one yet. Apostle is an apostle by his position that God has put him into the kingdom, and not because he fasted 30 days of trying to get it. You can fast till your stomach grows to your backbone, and you'll never be a prophet, and you'll never be an apostle. You are a prophet or an apostle by your position of your call, and your apostle or prophet from the very first day that you were called. And you don't have to pray to do miracles. You will automatically work miracles. Paul never prayed for a miracle. Peter never prayed for a miracle. He didn't go around and pray for that man to get up. He said, get up. He commanded to get up in the name of Jesus. You know why he done it? Because he was in a position of apostle. He done the miracles he done not by faith that we do miracles by, and the ministers by faith. That's how we work miracles. We work miracles by the ministry of faith. That's one of the gifts that you can have. The ministry, I believe we can have the ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, or whatever the Bible says, but we operate through faith and not by position. I take the Word of God and prove it from the original translation of what a prophet and apostle is. When Paul turned around to rebuke that agitator, he never prayed one prayer. He just turned around, bam. And when he struck that man blind, he didn't say, now God, you've seen how he's mistreated me and how I've been persecuted and how he's stomped on me, now I want you to do something about it. He never done no such of a thing. He just turned around and he said, you be blind. In Jesus' name, you're blind. A friend of mine, he was blind. You hear me? I say he was blind. He operated through position as an apostle. But there'll have to be a lot of changes in our structure for that kind of operation. Well, I better get off of that because that's getting quiet. I'm not your Bible teacher. I'm supposed to be an evangelist, but Lord God, I'm a long ways from it tonight. I'll try to do better. Trying to close. I want to look back at us preachers just for a moment. Here were these sons of Sceva. They were imitators of Pentecost. But Paul was a real, genuine. Now, I don't want to be an imitator of apostolic power. I want apostolic power. I do not want to use all kinds of trickery, psychology, mind therapy, mental deception, emotional persuasion, or imitation to try to convince anybody that I have something or possess something that really and truly in my heart I do not have or possess. Preachers, let me show you something. We are in a position to be the biggest deceivers in the world. I told Brother Martin this evening, I said, there's only two people in the Bible that God's book ever said that there was no guile found in them. One of them was Jesus, and the other was Nathaniel. And when Jesus said, I seen you on the fig tree, he said, I saw that you was a man, that you did not have any guile. The word guile means there's no deception in you. There's no hypocrisy in you. There's no fake in you. There's nothing. When you look at me, when you look at a person without guile, from the outside, you're seeing him all the way through what he is. There's no manipulation. There's no undercover. There's no backhanded. There's no sliding or no trick or no playing on somebody's psychology. If you got the power, you don't have to shake their head and their teeth rattle to try to make them think that you got power when you don't have that power. If you got the power, my friend, in the name of Jesus, I cast it out. Amen. And it's done. That's what I'm talking about, the difference between imitation and duplication. And we need duplication, preacher. We got to have it. If we're going to have anything in this world, if we're going to have revival, if our constituency is going to be changed by the Christ, if our leaders is going to be changed, if the leaders don't have it, my God, you're not going to have it in the church. We need a revival of Pentecostal duplication in the heart of every preacher. You're talking about prayer meeting in the morning, 9:30. Oh, God, we need a prayer meeting. I said we need a prayer meeting. I'm tired of faking it out. I'm tired just of mimicking it. I'm tired just of going through the act of it. I'm tired of playing the part of an actor. I want the real, genuine, apostolic duplication of the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, give me the apostolic ministry. Oh, I need a baptism of the apostolic ministry. I don't want to imitate the power. I want to possess the power. Yes, sir! Oh, God, I don't want to be an apostle. I don't claim to be one. I couldn't be one if I wanted one. I could pray. I could fast. I could do whatever I wanted to. I'd never become an apostle nor a prophet. Apostles and prophets are offices and positions that only God can give you. I met a man that wanted to get licensed with UPC. 2 weeks ago at one of our sectional meetings, he approached the pastor, and the pastor said to me, he said, I'm a prophet. I said, you are? Who told you you was? Well, I just know I am. I said, do you belong to one of our local churches? No, sir. I said, well, that's how you're going to get your license. You go sit down somewhere in a church, be taught the Word of God, get under obedience to that pastor, and let him recommend you and sign your license, and then you can be examined by the Texas District Board. Oh, I can't do that. Who ever heard of a prophet sitting on a pastor? I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, he had on a dress. Yeah, he did. He had on a pure dress, a maxi dress. I said, where'd you come from? He told me where he'd come from. I said, that's exactly where you need to go back to. For the first place, we teach against men wearing women's dresses. Oh, this is not a woman's dress. He said, this is my natural habitat. So this is what we wear where I come from. I said, well, we wear breeches and pants over here. If you're a man, and that's what you're going to have to wear, if you're going to be a preacher and you're not going to call the church, you ain't going to walk around here with a dress on. He's about as much prophet as I am. And I know I'm not a prophet. I'm a preacher. That's all I know I am. And not a very good one at that. But I tell you what I do have. I have a desire. I have a desire. I have a desire to go back to the Pentecostal duplication of the apostolic ministry and the power of God. I don't have to be an apostle. I'm like the brother was debating up there that come from Arkansas. He said, I don't know what I am. I've laid my hands on the sick and they recovered. I've cast out devils. I've done everything that the Bible said I could do. And he said, as far as I know, I'm just a preacher. But he said, I've done it all. I said, what am I? I said, you're just exactly what I am. That's what we all are. That's what we all are. We're apostolic preachers. Hallelujah. And if God puts a name on us, we'll take it along. But if you don't worry about it. I couldn't care less. anybody called me Apostle Mac Neely or Prophet Mac Neely. That don't mean a hill of beans for me. If I had got the power, I had got the power. You can tag any kind of label over you want to tag on me. Oh, God, let's get down to the nitty-gritty saints of God and preach a friend of mine. I said we've got to have revival. We've got to have revival of Pentecostal duplication. I want you to know that everywhere that the apostles went, the Bible said that they turned the world upside down and filled Jerusalem with their doctrine. Now you fill your city with your doctrine and you turn your city upside down and with miracles and signs and wonders, and I might believe that there's something to it. Oh God, I'm hungry tonight. Preacher, how about you? Are you hungry? Are you tired? Are you tired of imitation? I want to seek God. I want to pray. I want to search my heart and cleanse myself of every vile, evil spirit that against my brother, that I can be out of fellowship and harmony with the Spirit of God and have the speaking of the Holy Ghost in my heart that will reproduce Christ in me. That Christ would be formed inside of me. That when we walked into a place, just our singing would cause the doors to fall off and the earthquake to shake and the jailer to come to his knees. Just a few old preachers in there, just a singing at midnight. Wasn't even a preaching to the fella. Wasn't even concerned about his salvation. But they were just a praising God. But there was something that old jailer stood out there and he listened to that Paul and that Silas as they sang and he felt something in his heart. Don't you know that he was familiar with the black arts of Ephesus? Because that's what had burned the $50,000 worth of books of the black arts and all of the magistrate and all the sorcery and all the astrology and the magicians. They piled up and burned them. But he come in contact with the real genuine thing. Brother, he fell on his face and cried out to God. Repented of his sins, got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. His life was different, him and his whole household. Hallelujah. There's a different Pentecostal preacher. I said there's a different Pentecostal preacher between a label and a name. And I'm closing. You may not think I'm trying to, but I am trying to. Just because you got the name Pentecostal or Jesus' name Pentecostal on your door, well, they attach certain labels to us. Just a label or to be labeled Pentecostal means nothing. But being Pentecostal, not only in name, but in character, in nature, and in attitude and spirit and power and glory, means a lot. It means everything. Having a name without having the character or personality which expresses that name means nothing. It's just simply imitation. Let me say it again. Having a name without having the character and the personality which expresses that name means nothing. It's nothing but imitation. The name given Jesus in Matthew 1:23 was given him Jesus, all capital letters, Greek word Yahushua, translated Hebrew Yahweh, simply meant Jehovah has become our salvation. And when he had the name Jesus, he had the character and the nature and the personality that it was expressed in that name. He was the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. And when Thomas, he said, stick your finger out here, son, you doubter. And he backed off and he said, my Lord and my God. Who do you say I am, disciples? Who does other people say that I am? Some say you're one of the prophets. Some say you're John the Baptist come back to life. Some say you're this and some say that. Who do you say that I am? Oh, thou art the Christ. Thou art the one that shed the blood. You are God manifest in the flesh. You are the Son of God to come take away the sin of the world. You are Jesus. You are God. You are Jehovah of the Old Testament that wrapped yourself in swaddling clothes in a manger and appeared to the world in a fleshly form to take away the sins of the world. That's who you are. He said, Jehovah has become our salvation. What are you, Pentecostal? Are you real Pentecostal? Do you have the character? Do you have the holy life? Do you have the dress? Do you have the manner? Do you have the glory? Do you have the holiness? Do you have the power? Do you have the signs, the miracles, the wonders? That is supposed to express itself to those who bear the name Pentecost.
Oh God.
Last statement. Bearing the name Pentecostal should mean that we possess the same qualities, the same power, the same nature, the same gift, the same characteristics that the apostolic church possessed. And I look in myself in the mirror. And I say to myself, you don't have it, son. You see, Nathaniel had no guile. There's no hypocrisy in him. But if we're not careful as preachers, we can become the biggest hypocrites that ever walked on the face of the earth. And I'm not belittling the ministry. But I'm talking to you preachers that you need to search your heart, and we need to, and I need to search my heart, and I do try to. I try to search my heart before I come to this camp meeting. Lest while I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway. And I'll tell you what I believe about it. I don't know whether you believe it or not, but I believe God talked to me for this camp. I believe it. I'm hungry. And there's times when I catch myself trying to imitate the power of God because I don't have it in my soul. I'll have to confess and get back on the floor at the altar and say, God, I'm sorry, I just don't have it. And keep on praying. And keep on digging. Keep on studying the Word. Keep on trying to get it. I would to the Lord tonight that every preacher in this building, we could all be rebaptized all over again with a duplication of the apostolic power. Is that the hunger of your heart? Is that the burden of your soul? I backed off at the last convention and I got off in a corner. I asked God to forgive me. They rolled him in there, crippled and legs twisted and wheelchairs, and they rolled him right on through the line with hundreds of preachers laying their hands on him. And they just kept on rolling them. And they kept on rolling them. And they just kept on rolling them. And I laid my hands on them. And others laid their hands on them. Somebody else laid their hands on them. Presbyters laid their hands on them. Superintendents laid their hands on them. Evangelists laid their hands on them. Oh God, imitation. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. I want duplication. I want duplication. I want duplication. I want power. I want apostolic power. I want apostolic power. Oh God, give me power. Oh God, give me duplication. Baptize me, Lord. Go back to Ephesians 4. Baptize me with the gifts of the Spirit. Let me feel it. Give me my life, oh God. Oh, Sandalo, Kosro, Tolo, Hitilio, Kanalo, Satamakachata. Let's all stand, lift our hand and love the Lord right now. Hallelujah to God. Oh, handolo sitilio candolo sotolamaha. Baptize me, Lord. Baptize me, Lord. Baptize me, Lord. Baptize me, Lord. Take my holiness out. Take away my pride. Take away my rebellion. Take away, dear God, my holiness. Take away everything, the desires of my flesh. Oh, God, give me the power. Oh, God, give me the ministry. Oh, God, talk to my heart. Let Christ be formed in me. Work on me, Lord. Work on me, Lord, tonight. Work on me tonight, Lord. Let Christ be formed inside of my soul. Oh, God. Duplication. Not imitation. Oh, preacher. We don't want to fake it out. We don't want to be just an actor. But I want the real. The real. The real. Cast out devils. Lay hands on the sick. They even brought them and laid them on couches. Laid them on stretchers. Out in the street. That just the shadow of the apostle would just fall on them. That they may be healed. And the very next verse. And says that every one of them was healed. Every one of them was healed. Oh God. I won't ever preach it. And his wife, you're one in flesh, you're one in spirit, you're one in unity. And a preacher can't do nothing without his wife. You're in the ministry together. I said you're in the ministry together. You gotta pray together. You gotta live together. You gotta love God together. You gotta be faithful together. You gotta hold one another up together to God. God, preachers and their wives need a real apostolic move of the power of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me we don't. I need one, and I know that you do. And I want it. I want it to start now. It's 15, 25 years too late. It's got to start now. Not next month. Not in Indianapolis. It's got to start right here. Right here tonight in the Western District. United Pentecostal Church Camp Meeting. Oh, God! What would that conviction be, Brother Price, in Indianapolis, if every preacher that's here tonight would go down there to that conviction with a real apostolic move of the Holy Ghost in his life? Let them come for whatever they wanted to. But if we could walk in there from Texas and from California as districts of preachers that has had a rebaptism of the apostolic fire of burning in their soul and get rid of all the hypocrisy and all mimicking and acting out the part and get rid of everything that's in our flesh that stays in the way that would hinder us from carrying the cross of Calvary and stand in the shadow of the cross and get out of the blood and get everything out of our soul. I don't care what the rest of them come there for. You'd see a work of God in that place. And I'll tell you something else. You see issues settle. You hear me? Are we not carnal, Brother Price? The reason we are discussing and a fighting and a fuming and dividing over issues, are we not carnal? Yes, we are. You let one Holy Ghost power sweep through this place tonight. You let every one of us get a read of baptism of the duplicating power of the apostolic ministry. We'll walk in there, praise God, and there'll be enough of glory, and there'll be enough of power, and there'll be enough of apostolic authority that we can command, that we can command, that we can command the wholeness of God to be performed in that conviction and get rid of this television as you or whatever it is. I want the preachers and the wives to come down here. I want you to come if you're hungry. Like I am tonight.